What a blessing from the Lord. We can all testify that certainly the Lord's presence has been here this morning. I remember the first time that Elder Mann and I were able to come here to an annual meeting. And what a blessing and presence of the Holy Spirit being in the place. It was just such a rich blessing. And I remember that Brother Mike Stewart was working in Washington, D.C. at the time, and I excused myself during the course of the meeting and went into Elder Guest's office and called Brother Mike, and I said, "I wish you were here. You just wouldn't believe the presence of the Lord and the blessings." Well, I hope that you all feel that way as well. If there's somebody you'd like to call back at home and tell them that you wish that they could be here with you. I desire more than anything else that the Lord be with us this morning for a few minutes. You all are a great encouragement to me. And when I leave this place each time, I am recharged in the Lord. Your testimony and your fellowship is a great encouragement to me. Have desire to speak to you a portion of a verse in Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. There's a portion of verse 3 that I want to get to, and if the Lord would bless us to dwell on it for a few minutes. We'll read verses 1 through 3. "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had a wilderness, a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." Jeremiah spent a good portion of his life in sorrow. He did. If you think that you've experienced a measure of sorrow in your life, I would encourage you to go over and to read the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. Because you'll see a man who was diligent for the Lord, diligent for the truth, yet he experienced great sorrow in his life. The truths that our gospel ministers proclaim today and afterwards receive an embrace or a word of encouragement along the way, Jeremiah received his lot in prison for. Jeremiah lamented a great deal about the condition of Zion. And right here he says that there was lamenting because there were not those that were found valiant for the truth. Now, we're valiant for a lot of things, aren't we? There's just such a great blessing in having the young folks here, and you're a great encouragement to the rest of us. You're going to be faced with a lot of decisions in your life. I look back upon my life and I see that there were many things that I was valiant in that was not for the Lord and not for the truth. Somehow Satan begins to convince us that we're to be diligent to serve the Lord later on in our life. When we get a little bit older, then we'll serve the Lord. After we've fulfilled the dreams and the desires that we have in our life, then we'll take what's left over and we'll dedicate it to serving the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 tells us that we're not to wait until old age to serve the Lord. He says, "Remember thy Creator." When? When you're young, in the days of your youth. Young folks, you're a testimony that that's what you're doing right now. I just want to encourage you to continue in it. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days draw nigh. If you think that old age is not descriptive of the evil days, just try to spend some time with an older person And you'll begin to see that when the body begins to fail, when the mind begins to wander, that there's a real good description of old age right there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He knew what he was talking about when he wrote that down. Young folks, commit yourself to serve the Lord. Be valiant for the Lord. Be valiant for the truth in your youth. And that's going to carry you through the rest of your life. He says that he wept and there was sorrow because there were none that were valiant for truth. We're valiant in our education. We're valiant in our profession. We're valiant in our livelihood. We're valiant for the things that we want in life, but how often are we valiant for the truth? Oh, that God would bless us to be valiant for the Lord. Now, that's not just for young folks. Parents have a tremendous opportunity and command to train their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to be valiant for truth. Tremendous opportunity. Tremendous blessing to direct your children in the correct and proper way in being valiant for the Lord. Now, older folks, it's also an encouragement to folks facing old age to not say, well, I've reached this point and now I'm going to just put it on cruise control and just coast on through until the end. What a great blessing to meet older folks that are still serving the Lord diligently, that are valiant even in their old age to serve the Lord. I'm so thankful Brother Paul Reynolds and the folks from St. Louis are here, and his mother and father were a great blessing to me at Mount Carmel and their encouragement. And his mother was stricken with great afflictions in the last few years of her life. And it began to be very seldom that she was able to attend the worship service. But it was told that she would begin to make the preparation to go to church on the Monday following Sunday. Now, how many of us wait until Sunday morning to begin to prepare to go to church? How many of us are ironing our shirt? We're reading a portion of Scripture. We're rushing out the door. We get up late. And we're on our way to church. Well, it's apparently not a priority like it ought to be for us. We ought to be like Sister Reynolds and begin to prepare ourselves. If we have to prepare physically or whatever manner that it is, we ought to begin to prepare after we've left the last service, begin to prepare for the next service. She'd lay out her clothes throughout the week and have everything ready. So all she'd have to do is just get up and use what energy she had to get dressed and go to church. Well, our old brothers and sisters in Christ are a real encouragement and blessing when they're valiant for the Lord. I want to be valiant for the Lord. I don't have that strength in and of myself, and I know that. But I pray that God will use me to be valiant in His service. And I want to be valiant, not just right now, but I want to be valiant in old age. I want to finish my course going full steam ahead, serving the Lord when the evil days draw nigh. And if you can go over and read in Lamentations, would encourage you to read in Lamentations. He is lamenting the condition of Zion, the condition of the Lord's people. He talks about the city sitting in solitaire, she is desolate now, and the mourning that is going on because of the desolation in Zion. And we ought to mourn when we see the decline and the desolation in Zion. We shouldn't take it lightly, and it should be something that grieves us and that we mourn about. When I go to areas of the country that maybe I grew up in or that I was familiar with or up in the Northeast, and I see places that at one time the testimony of Jesus Christ was proclaimed, the truth of the gospel of grace was proclaimed. When you go in those buildings, that at one time, maybe in the 1700s and 1800s, that they would seat 300 and 400 people, and you hear stories about the gospel being proclaimed, and that they would have meetings like this where they were so full that they had to have another preacher standing outside on the stepping stone preaching to the overfull congregation without. And then you see that there's nothing but a cemetery there. It grieves me. And it should. It should. But I have a bit of encouragement over in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21. He says, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned." How are we going to turn? It's going to take the Lord turning us, isn't it? And you know what? I have great encouragement just by seeing you folks here that the Lord's doing it. Can you imagine, as I was reading Jeremiah chapter 9 and considering the condition of Jeremiah and the lamenting that was going on, can you imagine how Jeremiah would have felt if he is here today? Can you imagine? He'd be rejoicing more than all of us. Jeremiah would be rejoicing in the Lord if he could experience what you're experiencing right now today. Those songs of Zion, they fed my soul. I was just, if I had to go home right after hearing the singing, I'd have been richly blessed. Jeremiah would have rejoiced to see what you're experiencing right now. I'm encouraged that the Lord is fulfilling verse 21. "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days." I love to hear about those stories of the Lord's blessings 200 years ago, to go in those old meeting houses that at one time were overflowing with brothers and sisters in Christ rejoicing in the very same gospel that you're hearing today. But I don't want to just hear about it in the past. I don't. And I'm so thankful that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the same today. He's not just the Lord of yesterday, but He's our Lord today. He is. I pray that what you're experiencing right here, just in this meeting here, that the Lord will use you when you go back to your home churches, and that you will be valiant for the Lord, and that you will be used to be a catalyst in your church where you are, and that other churches across the country would experience what you're experiencing right here today. Can't you think of somebody that you wish were here? Let's go over into 1 Kings. There's a question that's presented right here, and thankfully we have the answer as well. I want to be valiant for the Lord. Well, what does it take to be valiant for the Lord? Certainly, the Lord has to quicken us and put it upon our heart. But in the life that we live, we have a lot of distractions. Satan's just real good at throwing. He's got a whole pack of distractions that he throws our way. And he knows what area that you're weak in and how that you're most easily distracted. And so we find ourselves, as it's described here in chapter 18, we find ourselves just like this group of people were right here. He says right here in verse 21 of chapter 18, he says, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Now, if we're going to be valiant for the Lord, we can't find ourselves in this group, in this camp, that is halting between two opinions. We need to pray that God will bless us to be valiant for the Lord, not just on Sunday, not just when we're at big meetings, but be valiant for the Lord each and every day of our life. All right, he presents the question right here. And then he gives a real good picture and explanation of who that we should serve. Now, you can put all of your gods, all of your distractions in the first camp right here. Let's look at what he says. He says, "Elijah came to all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him." Is the Lord God? Absolutely. Then it really shouldn't be a question about who that we're going to follow. He says, "If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered not a word. Isn't that sad? Here he's presented, if the Lord is God, follow Him. I tell you, the Lord, He is God. And He's the one that we ought to follow. But how many times do we follow the other things of the world? He says, then Elijah said to the people, he says, I remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. He says, let them give two bullocks. We'll probably not read all the verses here, but I want you to get the setting. Let them give two bullocks and let them choose one for themselves and cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood upon the altar, and put no fire under it. He says, I'll dress the other and I'll lay it on wood and I'll put no fire under it as well. Get the picture that he's laying it upon the altar, that there's going to be wood under it, but there is no fire. And he says, and ye call on the name of your gods. And I will call upon the name of the one true and living God, upon the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And let all the people, and all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now, isn't it interesting here that they wouldn't comment when he said, if the Lord's God, you're to serve Him. But here they're willing to see this presentation, if you will. Well, sometimes the Lord shows us through His experiences, through some things that we experience in life. Sometimes He brings us to the point just to remind us that He's God. And that's what He's going to do right here. He's going to show His power. Elijah said, choose you one. He says, for your many. He says, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until evening, saying, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now, get the picture right here. He said, if you're not going to be willing to serve the Lord, then you call on your God. You call on Him. Call on Him in the morning. Call on Him in the noonday. Call on Him throughout the day. You call on your God. He says that they called on it. He says there was no voice. There was no answer. And then they leapt upon the altar that was made. I don't want to serve a God that needs some help. I don't. My God doesn't need help in salvation. My God doesn't need help in providing for me here in this life. My God doesn't need any help, and they had to help their gods out. And yet, even with their help, their God was not able to help them. He says that it says that Elijah came, and he says that they leapt upon it. He says, and it made to pass that Elijah mocked them. And he said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's talking or he's pursuing or he's in a journey or maybe he's sleeping and must needs be awakened. Elijah comes along. He says, maybe you're just not calling loud enough. Now, he knew that their God was not going to answer them. He said, maybe you just need to call a little bit loud. Maybe he's asleep. Well, he was asleep, completely asleep. He says, maybe he's talking or he's pursuing. He's preoccupied, if you will. Aren't you glad that the God that you have, that you can call upon Him and He will answer you? That He's able to answer you? That you can call upon Him in the daytime? You can call upon Him in the nighttime? You can call upon Him when you're rejoicing? You can call upon Him in your trials and afflictions here in this life? And not only will He answer you, but He cares for you. What a blessing that we have the one true and living God. He says, just call on Him a little bit louder. Or maybe He's preoccupied. Maybe He's strolling around. Maybe He's walking around. Hadn't gotten His attention right yet. I'm so thankful that we have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That'll carry you through when you're down in the valley. That'll carry you through when you're facing trials and afflictions in this life. That'll carry you through when you're facing temptations to know that the Lord is there to provide a way of escape for you. That'll take you through. Their God wouldn't sustain them. No, no. He comes on down and he says, they cried aloud. It says that Elijah mocked them. It says, they cried aloud, they cut themselves with all manner of knives and lancets till the blood gushed out from them. And it came to pass that when the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering, until the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, there was no answer, nor any that regarded. Now, I can just see old brother Elijah calling them around. He says, I want you to come up a little bit closer. Says, come near to me. Sometimes we call some of our shut-ins and sing a hymn over the telephone, and we try to call the folks up a little bit closer in the front, and the singing sounds just a little bit better when they're all up in the front, and so we call them up together. And Elijah says, come near. I want you to get up here close. I want you to witness something here. He says, all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken. Elijah took 12 stones according to the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he did something that they didn't do. It says he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid them on the wood. And he said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now, I use a wood stove to heat my house most of the time. A lot of trees and have plenty of wood. And so a lot of times I use a wood stove to heat my house. And one of the most frustrating times that I have is when I haven't protected the wood and the wood gets wet. And maybe it's about 50 degrees in the house and I'm trying to get a fire started, and I'll use newspaper, I'll use a variety of kindling, and just can't get that wood to light because it's wet. Well, I imagine those folks were familiar with that. So he said, you bring in some water. He said, bring in 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now, it didn't make it any more difficult for the Lord. The Lord's the one that made the wood. He made the water. He made every bit of it. So it didn't make it a bit more difficult for the Lord. And Elijah knew that. He says, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. I'm sure some of them came up a little bit closer and they thought, what in the world is he doing here? And they said, do it a second time. And they did it. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And it says, the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the same Lord that you cry unto. You're crying unto the very same God that Elijah cried unto. He says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art the God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. He said, these people who've been riding on the fence, if you will, halting between 2 opinions about whether I serve the things of the world or I serve the Lord, he says, I want you to display your power and your glory in their presence. If you're riding on the fence and serving the Lord, you know that the Lord is your Savior. At one time, maybe you made a commitment to follow your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But because of some of your pursuits, some of your disappointments, some of your decisions, you've grown cold and away from the Lord. Pray that He'll bless you not to halt between 2 opinions. To serve the Lord on Sunday and then go out and not be faithful the other 6 days of the week to serve the Lord. But pray that He'll bless you to be valiant for Him. Now, He doesn't really need us. He doesn't. But what a blessing it is when He takes unworthy, rebellious sinners such as we are and blesses us with a desire to serve Him. If you've been blessed with a desire to serve the Lord, serve Him. How long halt ye between two opinions? What are we valiant for this day? Are we valiant for our pursuits here in this life? A lot of times we spend all kinds of money and effort to extend our life. Maybe we'll go work out. Maybe we'll take the very best vitamins and minerals. We'll put a whole lot of effort in the things of this world. But how much do we put in to serving the Lord? How long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah said, Lord, show Your glory. If I'm not deceived, we've seen the glory of the Lord over this weekend. My only prayer was that I wouldn't distract from the blessings of the Lord in this meeting. I am so thankful that I was blessed to be here and just receive some of those showers of blessings that the Lord poured down. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve Him. Can I tell you? He is. And we should. Now He says, they filled the trenches with water three times. They poured the water on the altar and it ran over in the trenches. It said, He says, Hear, O Lord, hear me this people, that they may know that Thou art the Lord and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Elijah called on his Lord. He called on your Lord. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood, and the stones, and the dust. And what happened to the water? Did it hinder the fire? No, it licked up the water. And when all the people saw it, those that had come forward just a bit closer, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And what did they say? The Lord, He is God. You have the one true and living God. You are testimonies of Jesus Christ. May God bless us to be valiant for Christ. When we face decisions along the way that would cause us to go in the direction away from the Lord. Away from a close walk and fellowship with the Lord. May we seek His will and may He bless us to be valiant for Him. Genesis chapter 18, the question is presented there. Just one thought. Is there anything that's too hard for the Lord? No. No. You may have a situation, there may be someone in your life that's going in the wrong direction, that the Lord has not arrested them in their case yet. But does that mean it's too hard for Him? No. No. Look at Saul. If somebody had talked to his family members just a few days before, they'd have probably thought he was a hopeless case. But it wasn't too hard for the Lord. So I want to encourage you, if you have children, if you have grandchildren, that you feel like have wandered away from the Lord, that's not too hard for the Lord. Be faithful and pray to the Lord that He'll have mercy upon them. Now, in Joshua, just a portion of Scripture in Joshua chapter 24. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Well, it's not evil to serve the Lord. It's a great blessing. It is. If it seem evil unto you this day to serve the Lord. Choose this day whom ye will serve, whether it be the gods of your fathers that were served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, which in land in which ye dwell. Mothers and fathers, young folks, older brothers and sisters in Christ. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 33 says that the Lord, our righteousness, He is our righteousness. He is our banner. You may not have control over what your neighbor does or what other folks do around you. You may not have any control over what others do in school that you associate with or people that you work with. But you can make the commitment that as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. There was an older couple that were such a blessing to me in my early years in the church. They've now gone to be with the Lord. Some of you may have known them. Old Brother and Sister Johnson out in Lubbock, Texas. They were steadfast in their commitment to serve the Lord. They said, if we have company coming to our house and it's church time or we're having church, we just let them know ahead of time that we're going to be at church. If our family that's not in the church comes and stays with us, we let them know that we're going to be in church. It's a priority in our life. And they were faithful to that to the very end. I remember Sister Johnson became in poor health in her latter years. And when she would be in the hospital for a period of time, she would ask the doctor on Friday when he would come around and visit the rooms if he would write her an order of permission so that she could get out and go to church on Sunday and then go back to the hospital. We need some valiant folks for the Lord. We do. Oh, that God would bless us to say that as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Oh, that we wouldn't halt between two opinions. But oh, that we would be valiant for the Lord. It's been such a blessing to be here with you. May God bless you in the remainder of this meeting. You've been a real encouragement to us. And as we go back to our home churches, we're greatly encouraged in the Lord. May God bless you is our prayer. Thank you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we don't realize the depth of our unworthiness in ourselves and how that we don't deserve to be used in your service. We realize, Father, that we've missed the mark in so many ways, but we just don't realize the extent of it, Father. We know, Father, that you could use others that are more qualified and more equipped to serve you. But, Father, for those that are gathered here in this place this day, I believe you put it in their hearts to be diligent to serve you and to follow you. Father, may you bless us to be close to you. May you draw us nigh unto you, Father. May we be committed as we leave this place to go back to our home churches. And may we be used as a shining light, Father. May we be an encouragement to others. May we be Aquilas and Priscillas, Father, in our individual churches. We thank you, Father, for your blessings upon this church. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful songs that have been sung and for the blessing of your Spirit, Father, in the singing of these hymns. We thank you, Father, for the witness that's born in this place. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. And we just pray, Father, that as we leave this place, that you'll use each one of us as soldiers of the cross Father, I believe there's so many across the country that are despondent in Your kingdom. Folks that are troubled because of one reason or another. And Father, may we just be used to be a catalyst of encouragement to Your people. And to be steadfast, valiant not for strife, but valiant to serve the Lord. Thank You for the testimony that's born here in this place, this day. And may we give You all the praise, honor, and glory is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. And amen.